Question. If you knew the day and the hour when Jesus Christ was coming, would it change the way that you live? Beloved, it shouldn't. You should be living as if he were going to appear at any time. You are charged to be on the alert because you don't know the hour that your Lord is coming, and he could catch you by surprise. We'll talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. As we come to the end of Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus is telling the disciples what the sign of his coming will be, he wants to make sure that they are on the alert. Yes, there is a time of tribulation coming such as has never been and will never be again. Yes, it is going to be inaugurated by the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. And he wants them to understand that they are to live in an attitude of readiness. And beloved, since he hasn't come yet, and since he could come at any time, you and I also need to be in that attitude of readiness. He goes on to say in verse 42 of Matthew chapter 24, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." Now, the therefore, when you see a therefore, it's a term of conclusion, and you have to find out what is the therefore, therefore. Well, the therefore relates back to the fact that when the Son of Man comes, it will be like the days of Noah. It'll be like the days of Noah because they didn't know that the flood was coming until the day that it started. They were eating and drinking, and they were giving in marriage, and they were getting married. It was life as usual. And then suddenly, the flood was there. So his word to us is that, therefore, we need to be on the alert. Now, what he's going to do at the end of Matthew chapter 24 and all the way into Matthew chapter 25, he's going to take several stories from common day life, and he's going to illustrate, use those stories to illustrate the fact that we need to be on the alert, that we need to be a faithful servant, that we need to be a prudent person. And he's going, and because he's entrusted us with talents and gifts, and that we are to be using them in the expectation of the fact that he's coming. Let's look at it. It's in Matthew chapter 24. He says in verse 42, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into." Now, once again, you see the term "be on the alert." And what I did is I colored in deep green every reference that tells me to be on the alert. Verse 44, "For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." Now, he has given them the sign of his coming. And yet we know from studying the Word of God, we know that there's going to be a 3.5-year period. We do not know exactly when he's coming during that last tribulation. But his message to each one of us, because he's going to come for the church. He's going to come for the church. A trumpet is going to sound. Jesus Christ is going to leave heaven. He's going to raise the saints. We're going to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we don't know when the rapture, the great snatch, is going to happen any more than they knew the day nor the hour when Jesus Christ would leave the air and actually come down to earth, come down to the Jerusalem that is in the background of where I am standing, and reign as King of Kings. Come down on the Mount of Olives, which is at my back, and split that Mount of Olives in three parts. They did not know when. We do not know when the bridegroom is coming for his bride. And so his message is that you and I are to be on the alert. For the Son of Man is coming. And once again, you want to mark that with that blue cloud that we've been marking every reference to the coming of the Son of Man. He says he is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is that faithful and sensible slave? Now, I would underline faithful and sensible because he's pointing out a good slave. A slave that is faithful to his master. A slave that is sensible, that has his head screwed on right. He says, whom his master will put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time. He says, blessed is that slave, that faithful and sensible slave, whom his master finds so doing when he comes. What is he doing? He's taking the master's food and he's giving it to the master's household. And he's faithful about it, and he's sensible about it. And so when the master returns, then he's pleased with what he's done. Now listen to what he says. Truly, I say to you, there's that other truly, another truly. I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. In other words, if you are faithful and you are sensible, when the Lord comes, he who is the possessor of the heavens and the earth and all the nations and everything in it is going to put you in charge of his possessions. Why? Because you were faithful in a little thing, and he can know that you'll be faithful in a greater thing. But now he's giving us a contrast. But if that evil slave says in his heart, oh, my master's not coming for a long time, he says, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be weeping and there's going to be gnashing of teeth. And why? Because the slave did not serve his master well. Because he thought, he's not coming back for a long time. And he can beat his fellow slaves and he can drink with the drunkards and he can get away with it. And God's saying, no, you can't. Because he's going to come at an hour, at a time that you do not know. Now, what is the point that he wants you to get? He wants you to get the point that you need to be on the alert. Why? Because he's coming at an hour, at a time, at a day which you do not know. You are to be faithful and you are to be sensible. Otherwise, what's going to happen? It says in verse 51, when he comes, he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what's a hypocrite? Remember, we've looked at it several times in the Gospel of Matthew. A hypocrite is one who wears a mask, one who pretends to be something that they are not. And so he's contrasting a good slave and an evil slave. And he wants you to understand that we are known by our deeds. It's our deeds that testify to who we are and to what we are. And so if this evil slave, who says that he belongs to the kingdom and that he is serving his master, does not serve his master, the very fact that he's not serving his master proves that he is an evil slave, then he's going to be put in the place with the hypocrites, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, he wants to tell the story from another angle. He wants them to get the point. In verse 25, it says, in chapter 25, verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. Now, remember, the whole theme of the Gospel of Matthew is the king and his kingdom. It begins with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you hear in the background? Do you hear in the background the alarm that was going off, the ambulance that was going forward? Something happened to someone that they did not expect to happen. And because they did not expect it to happen, in all probability, they were not prepared. God wants you and me to be prepared. So he's saying, now I want you to understand more about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. And he's going to divide them into 5 and 5. Just as he has a good slave and a faithful slave and a sensible slave and an evil slave, a hypocritical slave. And this is what it says. 5 of them were foolish. 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. They pick up their lamps. They're going to the wedding. They're going to join the processional. They're taking their lamps with them, but no oil. What good is a lamp without oil? Because the purpose of a lamp is to give light. You have a wick in it, but the wick cannot continue to burn unless there's oil in it. And so he says, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. They were carrying a flask on their side as they carried their little lamp. And they were able to take that flask and fill their lamps. Now, when the bridegroom, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and they began to sleep because the bridegroom had delayed. He hadn't shown up when they thought. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom. Behold, the bridegroom. Come out to meet the bridegroom. Here they are asleep. All of a sudden, they're hearing that the bridegroom is coming. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. They cut off the wick so that it will burn, the burnt part, and they cut it off so that it will burn well. And it says, but the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Foolish virgins, wise virgins. Oil, no oil. What is God saying to you today as he had you tune in and hear the word of God? We'll talk about it in just a minute. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus' comparison of the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise or prudent. God wants you and me to know, beloved, how important it is for us to be prudent about the time in which we are living, to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. For the hour is coming, and we don't know when it's coming, and we're to be on the alert. Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. And in verse 8, it says, now the bridegroom has come, they've awakened, and the foolish do not have any flasks of oil for their lamps. They've trimmed their lamps, but their lamps are going out. And the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself. And while they were going away to make the purchase, because they weren't ready, because they weren't prudent, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. I don't know you. I don't know you because you're not a prudent person. You're not a person who is prepared, who is ready for my coming. You are living life your way instead of my way. And you are looking for me, you're talking about me, but you're not living as if I am going to come. He goes on to say, but he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. Do you see the common thread? Do you see what's happening from verse 42 of Matthew 24 all the way through verse 13? His message is, be on the alert. Now, some will take the parable of the 10 virgins, and they'll say, okay, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Some have the Holy Spirit, some do not have the Holy Spirit. But he's not telling us that. I mean, we can put all sorts of other connotations on various parts of these stories. But I think his main point is this, and we don't want you to miss the main point. So he keeps the main point simple so you don't miss it. And that is, you don't know the hour when he's coming. The slaves did not know the hour when their master was coming. The virgins did not know the hour when the bridegroom was coming. The evil slave was not prepared. The foolish virgins were not prepared. And you see the word prudent, prudent, prudent for the wise virgins. I think he's saying to us, be faithful, be sensible, and live as if your master could come at any time. Be prudent, be wise, be prepared. Be prepared, because the bridegroom could come at any time. Now, what you see in common in both of these is that the evil slave that was not prepared is cast into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What you see about the five foolish virgins is the door was shut and they never got into the wedding supper, and they didn't get in there. And Jesus, the bridegroom, or the bridegroom, said to them, I do not know you. I do not know you. And he says, be on the alert then, term of conclusion, for you do not know the day nor the hour. For it is just like a man. Now he's going to tell us a third story. It is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Now remember, with the other slave, he's entrusting his household to them. Now he says, here's a man who's going on a journey, who entrusts his slaves, his possessions to his slaves. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now watch, I think this is so important. Each according to his own ability. He does not expect more from someone than they are able to give. So he gives each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. And immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. Now a talent was a great amount of money. And it says, and he gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the one talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents. Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents. He doubled it. And his master said to him, well done, good, and watch the word faithful now. Faithful slave, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter in to the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the two talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more talents. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, as he says this, what he is saying at this point is he is not comparing one slave with the other, but the fact that both of them were faithful. And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you had scattered no seed. I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has two talents. Now watch, what is the bottom line of this? For to everyone who has, shall more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. Now listen to what he says. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what is he saying? In all of these, you have a contrast between faithful and sensible, and unfaithful and not prudent, but foolish. He tells three stories to make his point. Three different stories. He comes at it from three different angles. But the bottom line is this, that you don't know when your master is coming. But when he comes, if you're not on the alert and you're acting as if he's not going to come, then you are showing that he is really not your master. You are an evil slave. You are a foolish virgin. You are a person who did not use what God gave you. And consequently, you're going to miss the kingdom of heaven. All the way now through the Gospel of Matthew, he has shown us that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, as he says in Matthew chapter 7, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But it's the one who does the will of his Father who's in heaven that is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You need to be ready. You need to be alert. You need to be a faithful, prudent, wise person. And then you will enter the kingdom of heaven and you'll have your reward.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Remember, Remember the question, beloved, that I asked at the opening of the program? I asked that if you knew the day and the hour that the Lord was coming, would it change the way that you are living? What is God's message for you and for me today? What is His precept for life? His precept for life is this, that you and I should be living in such a way that we're expecting Him at any moment. Now listen, expecting to see Him at any moment. Not necessarily in the clouds coming in all of His glory and all of His power, but maybe stepping into eternity and not knowing that God is about to take away our life. If you knew that your life was going to end in a week, would it change the way that you lived? Not, of course, focusing on what's going down here on earth, but being prepared to meet your Master. Be prepared to meet your Lord. This is what Jesus is saying. And this is what makes these stories about the kingdom of heaven timeless in a sense. You and I, if we belong to the kingdom of heaven, are to be faithful servants of God, faithful slaves of God. We are to be wise. We are to be prudent. We are to take the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given us, and we are not to waste them away. We are not to let them just sit unused. Rather, we are to use them to the fullest. Why? Because we don't know the day and the hour when we are going to see our Savior face to face. But you have to know, and I have to know, that as part of the body of Jesus Christ, as part of the bride of Jesus Christ, that we are to make ourselves ready. We're not just guests invited to the wedding supper. I mean, after all, our bridegroom is coming. We are the bride of Christ. And in Corinthians, Paul writes to those in 2 Corinthians, and he says, I desire to present you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever read my book, With an Everlasting Love, but I wrote it to show the importance of living for our heavenly bridegroom, of keeping ourselves pure as a chaste virgin, because we do not know the day or the hour when He will come. But when we see Him face to face, we want to hear Him say, oh, beloved, well done, my good and faithful servant. And we want to go into that wedding clothed in the righteous acts of the saints. Be on the alert. Be ready. He's coming, and we don't know when.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.